Gascoigne going to have a crack? He is, you know. Oh, I say!
Welcome back to another edition of the Internet's Most Dangerous Tottenham Hotspur Podcast. I am your pretty deflated host, Greg, and we don't have a lot of fun stuff to talk about today. I know that's not selling it well, but it is what it is. I am joined by two out of our regular three panelists. It's Ben Daniels and Brian Ashlock, and we have two less than thrilling games to talk about today. A hearty but a little frustrating win against Southampton 2-1 over the weekend, and a really super shitty loss to Bayern Munich that I somehow can't recall the score to because I don't want to. Bet, literally right before we hit record on this, you were saying that it's very nice that we shit the bed immediately after we had a sort of a heartening win. How do you feel about Tottenham right now?
You know, I feel both not terrible and terrible at the same time. Southampton was a good, hard-fought win that we made immensely difficult for ourselves because Serge Aurier is a brain-dead moron and Hugo Lloris decided he wanted to channel his spirit for a moment and pass the ball to Danny Ings 6 inches outside of the goal. We fought back well. We won that game pretty comfortably for being a man down for a really long time, and things were looking up.
And there's something really comforting about when shit goes wrong, but it's not your system going wrong. It's just people doing dumb things. That's when you win. That's a lot easier to stomach than maybe other games we're going to talk about.
Right, exactly. When dumb shit happens like that, and you get through it, you're like, well, that was just some dumb shit. Doesn't mean anything about the team. You know, the thing that means something about the team is the way we fought back valiantly and took a win anyway. And then today happened. And, you know, it's like, it's annoying because for the first, like, 30, 35 minutes of that game, we looked so good. And not just good, but fun. I mean, we were pressing well, we were energetic, we were, you know, playing incisive passing moves, and everybody was combining well, and Dombele was doing his, you know, slick, saucy shit from midfield. Eriksen looked like he was back. Dele was, like, moving well and pressing and, like, playing cute little scoopy balls over the top, and, like, everything was good.
Kane looked dangerous.
Yeah. It was the whole package. And then, you know, we conceded a dumb goal from nothing, and it's like, well, you know, we're going to just keep playing well because we've been playing well all game, and things will work out. And then they just really, really, really didn't. I don't even know what to say about it because...
Let me start the conversation because I want to go with where we were at halftime, and then it just sort of went into, like, the darkest version of this reality, which is... I think we were very unlucky to be down at the half. Spurs had been, I think, the better team for the balance of the half. We were under pressure for about 10 minutes before the half. But then Bayern hits, like, their only two real shots at ridiculous angles. And they're just the kind of shots where you're like, the Kimmich hits a shot. You can't get mad at the defense for not closing him down. Like, he just hits a fucking bullet from 30 yards out. Lewandowski hits, like, a fucking another ridiculous. It's insane that he placed that ball the way he did with the power that he did. And, you know, on some level, even though I think Spurs were starting to cede the game at that point, you thought, Bayern Munich is just getting lucky. Like, or not getting lucky, but, like, not just getting lucky, but they have been lucky to get the goals they did. And then that just kept going.
Right.
To an absurd degree.
That, like, a team like Bayern can score those. But, like, you know, Hugo was, like, inches, millimeters from getting a finger to both of those shots in the first half. And you're like, yeah, you know what? Sometimes the team that you're playing against, they finish well. you did everything you could, and shit happens. But then that happens 7 times. And, you know, you look at all of those strikes, and, like, they are really phenomenal top-drawer finishes, all tucked away into, like, bottom corner, side netting, mostly, like, completely unsavable. And, you know, that doesn't usually happen 7 times in a game. But, like, also, you shouldn't be giving away 7 chances like that for a team as good as Bayern to get the opportunity to show you how good they are at finishing. I mean, it was just ruthless and brutal to watch.
It was... Brian, I always say that AVB just getting rolled by Liverpool was the sort of moment I fucking lost it with him. I didn't get there with Pochettino today, but this is the first loss under Pochettino that... Like, I don't know. This is the first loss that really shook me under Pochettino. We've had some bad games, but I don't think I've ever been as shook as I was today under Pochettino. What was your sort of feeling after the match?
Exasperation, I guess? Because, I mean, Ben pretty much summed up, you know, the range of emotions that you went through, where it was just perfect and... You know, every finish was the exact way it needed to be. And I think the distinction that I make between this result and the AVB stuff is that, like, AVB 6-1 against Man City really felt like the team just quit in that game. This game didn't quite feel like that. I know that the result, you would look at that and you'd go, oh, well, they gave up in the last, you know, 10 minutes. And... It just didn't actually feel like that in the moment. It just felt like we were getting beaten by a really good team, having their, you know, 99th percentile finishing game. And, yeah, we were also bad, but it didn't feel like we'd quit on the match or on the manager.
Yeah, it really wasn't until, like, the 6th goal where you felt like, you know, oh, they could have probably closed down better. They didn't look like they were... working as hard as they could have to, you know, close down that shot. But, like, honestly, at 5-2 with 4 minutes left in the game, like, I don't know, save your legs. Like,
honestly, we conceded 3 and 4 within, I don't know, it felt like 2 seconds of each other. Like, there was a rumor this week, there was a quote in an Athletic article about a player complaining about training. And I think the Pochettino probably has a lot to do with the problems this year, but, like, fuck these whiners. Like, I don't care if you wanted to get sold this summer. I don't care if you're mad that your move didn't come through. I don't care if you're looking forward to your free. Like, if you can't fucking play better.
I don't care if Vertonghen's fucking your wife.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, Christian Eriksen. But my point is, like, I don't give a shit about any of it. Like, A, have some fucking pride in your profession, but B, like, if you want to go get your, like, free transfer to Juventus or PSG or Real Madrid or fucking wherever. Like, you better not have too many more games like this because they're not going to want to buy you anymore. And it was just really infuriating to sort of see it fall apart the way that it did, even if maybe 7-2 is a little bit flattering to Bayern. But, you know, 5-2 ain't, like, anything to be really proud of either, so...
No. And if Michael were here, you know, he would point out that expected goals were actually much closer. Both the teams were about, like, 1.5-ish, and we had a penalty. So to concede 7 from that is highly unlikely.
I would still argue we were thoroughly beaten. Like,
we were.
I mean, it's really hard to beat a team that scores 7 goals when you only have 1.5 expected goals. So, you know, we probably should play better if we want to get to that level.
Well, let's talk about the early stage of the match. Like, I mean, Brian, we did look better, right? Like,
yeah, probably for the first half hour. Yeah, like the first half hour, at least, we probably looked the more dangerous team. I mean, Son gets in behind, what, 3 times, puts 3 shots on target, scores 1 goal. We were really kind of carving them apart, like... You know, with through balls in behind, Ndombele played, you know, a really good one into Sun early. I think if you looked at those first 15, 20, 30 minutes, you'd say, okay, this is good. Like, we can compete with these guys. And then, you know, the Kimmich goal happens. And then right before halftime, the scramble in the box gives Lewandowski the goal. And then it was just kind of downhill from there.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that was both encouraging and discouraging was, like, after the early going was so promising, we got punched in the mouth 15 minutes in with Kimmich's goal. And we came back out still strong, still fighting, still going for goal, and we still looked like the better team. And, you know, going into halftime 2-1 down, like, we had problems, but it didn't feel like it wasn't anything that we could, you know, come back out in the second half and play the same game we started with and put them under pressure and create chances for ourselves. And that just never happened. And that was really frustrating, is that we didn't seem to come back out of the locker room with the same intensity and the same game plan that we started with, that was working so well. And I don't know if that's just down to fitness or these, you know, moody players who decided that Pochettino's training methods are too boring to fuck with, so they didn't want to do it. I don't know. But, you know, the first half promised that we should have been in this game for longer than we were.
Or at least, like, if you told me in the first 30 minutes, like, Spurs are going to lose 3-1, like, I'd be like, well, that sucks, but it's Bayern Munich. But this was just, ugh, I mean.
It's frustrating because, like, you know, Gnabry scored 4 goals. And, by the way, I had no idea his name was pronounced Gnabry. I assumed that the initial G before an N was silent like it is in every other word. And that's just really adding insult to injury. What a stupid fucking name. But anyway, he had, like, 3 or 4 chances, like the 3 Sun chances that Sun had in the first half. And, you know, if Sun was shooting like he was, we go up 3-0 12 minutes in, and we're not having this conversation. And it's just...
Well, this is the whole year. I feel like all we're doing this year is, like, we're trying to find, like, the silver lining on a... Yeah, we're trying to find the silver lining on a piece of shit. And it's getting real tiresome and real concerning. Apparently, after the match, Pochettino had, I mean, the team there for hours, by all accounts, or at least by some accounts on Twitter. And, I don't know, on some level, I'm encouraged by that. You know, whether it's them sorting out their differences or realizing something's super fucking wrong.
That's the thing. Because, like, you know, I think you can definitely, if things are going well, you can look at this match and say, optimistically, you know, yeah, they beat the brakes off of us, but it was closer than that. We played well. And Pochettino did say, like, he was very, very pleased with that first 30 minutes. It was, like, the happiest he's been this season. And I think that is very, you know, good perspective to have. But, like, the fact that this otherwise innocuous performance with a terrible result resulted in, like, 4 hours of come to Jesus in the locker room, that suggests that there's bigger problems somewhere in Tottenham Hotspur besides things not quite clicking on the pitch. Like, you know, there's a lot of rumors about dressing room unrest that just increasingly feel real. And games like this, even if they're played well, it doesn't matter. You're not going to shrug off a 7-2 loss super easily and just go about your business, you know. So I'm worried.
I think what we should do is avoid baseless speculation and instead talk about how shitty Harry Winks is.
Yeah, let's talk about something is clearly wrong behind the scenes of Tottenham Hotspur, but other than, you know, Jan Vertonghen cuckolding Christian Eriksen, we don't know what's going on behind the scenes. So let's talk about what we can talk about, which is, what did we fuck up on the pitch? And Brian, it sounds like you have a theory.
I mean, look, I have a couple theories. And the number one starts with Pochettino getting tactics wrong again, which has been, like, my theme for most of this season. Like, aside from the Crystal Palace match, he screwed it up pretty much across the board all the way this year. And it's this weird, like, commitment to this 4-4-2 diamond with Harry Winks as the lone holding midfielder at the base of the diamond, and he just can't do it. Like, okay, maybe he can do it against Aston Villa. Maybe he can do it against, you know, Norwich or something like that. But he cannot do it against, you know, Leicester. He cannot do it against Bayern Munich in the Champions League. And it was, you know, Harry Winks has a lot of defenders among Spurs fandom. And I am hesitant to give him, like, the Ryan Mason, Tom Carroll treatment. Because he is a decent midfielder, he has a role in this team, but he just because he is capable of completing 80 sideways and backwards passes in a game does not make him, you know, the best option for us at the base of this diamond. He does little to no defensive work. He gave the ball away in this game in so many egregious ways, one that directly led to a goal. And it's just, you know, as good as and athletic as Sissoko and Ndombele are as kind of the shuttlers at the side of midfield, they can't be everywhere. They can't break up play and be getting forward to get to drive the ball forward with their passing or their dribbling and also make up for all of Harry Winks's deficiencies in midfield, and it is just not working. And I would give anything for a reasonably healthy Eric Dier or Victor Wanyama, who could still move, to just be put into this lineup and to see if it would be better.
Yeah, I mean, like, the thing about Winks is like, he's not good, but the thing that he is usually reliably good at is he can't pass the ball forward and be like a progressive attacking, you know, force from deep midfield. He doesn't defend well. All he does is holds the ball under pressure, makes safe passes, and like maintains possession for us. Like, that's his one useful skill. And today he couldn't even do that. He got his pocket picked so many times. He played sloppy loose passes, turned the ball over, and you know, if he's not even giving you that, then he is worse than just a black hole. He is just, like, actively aiding and abetting the other team's scoring chances. And it was just, it was horrendous to watch. There's no version of this team that qualifies for the Champions League that depends on Harry Winks playing as a number six for the entire season. It just can't happen. It's not going
to
work.
What concerns me is, and I understand, given what we've got to work with, why Winks has been back there so much, I'm concerned that this is the role Pochettino wants for him, and that it's not like Lo Celso or someone, or, you know, the whatever we do with Ndombele once Lo Celso's there is going to, like, displace him. And that's where I start to, I mean, that sort of builds into my broader concerns about Pochettino's tactics. Like, I don't see how this works, like, especially against good teams.
Right, and we've talked about this a lot with, like, Pochettino. He has this, like, cult leader mentality, and, you know, it's his way or the highway, and he has always had his binkies, his guys that, you know, make him feel warm and safe, and lately those people have been Sissoko and Harry Winks. They're guys who work really hard and seem to believe in the project and don't question it or second guess it, and he likes that. He clearly seems to like having guys who he can trust to do the job. I mean, that was the whole story of his first season when he exiled half the team and made Ryan Mason a fixture in midfield. It was, Ryan Mason was a guy who, you know, buys into my bullshit, and these other guys like Kapu, who might be better at the role, like, don't. And that's what's just going to happen. And, you know, we've seen him come up with tactics to accommodate these sort of deficient players that he has a hard-on for. But, like, there's only so many games we can keep dropping points in before he hits on those tactics to mitigate the obvious deficiencies in Harry Winks before top four becomes just completely untenable. And I share your concern that he is not going to put someone like Eric Dier in, who maybe is, you know, talking shit in training, over a guy like Harry Winks, who has the right attitude but is just not good enough.
I mean, we were talking about this before we recorded. We are 1 point behind Arsenal. We are 3 points behind Leicester. It is... We are far... let's not say far. We are not at the point where Spurs need to panic about their league position yet. However, all season we've been like, okay, Spurs are going to click it into gear. Spurs are going to click it into gear. And, like, it really hasn't happened. And results like this make it, you know... I'm starting to get pretty nervous. Like, you know, I'm not sure Leicester has the horses to sort of keep this up all season, even though I think they're a pretty good team. I'm really skeptical of Arsenal. I'm more skeptical of Chelsea than a lot of people. United, obviously, or whatever the fuck they are now. But, boy, like, us taking advantage of all those problems really requires us getting our act together. And
yeah,
I've
learned my lesson about being skeptical of Leicester having the depth to go the distance.
That's fair. That's fair.
But the thing is we shouldn't even have to... we shouldn't have to take advantage of those other teams being bad. Like, we should just be being the team that we are assembled to be, and we should just be the third best team. Like, we don't have to exceed expectations or play at any sort of weird, crazy high level to be in a position to be third place and easily qualify for the Champions League. We're just actively underachieving. Like, that's my issue with it, is it's not, you know, like, yeah, it's set up that this season should be, like, kind of a cakewalk for us.
But I guess that's that leads to a, you're right, Brian, you're absolutely right, but that leads to the confusing thing, which is, like, I don't get what's wrong. We should be better than this with the roster available to us now, and we're just not, and it's, sometimes we fuck up our tactics, but sometimes it's like, I mean, Eriksen has not been, I mean, he's been better, I think, in our last two games, but that guy is underwhelmed this year. I mean, Winks might just be what he is, but Sissoko's been bad even for Sissoko. Aurier's been bad even for Aurier. I mean, Vertonghen and Toby, I feel like, have been subpar this year. Hugo's fucking creating goals out of nothing for the other team. Like, I feel like our player, in addition to whatever we're doing wrong tactically, like, our players are just underperforming this year. And maybe it's true that Pochettino just can't motivate these guys anymore. That's certainly been the rumor. But even accounting for that, it's kind of alarming how much all these guys have declined.
Yeah, you know, and there are, like, mitigating circumstances that, you know, we talk about endlessly for a lot of these players, but... Yeah, by and large, we have played basically the same team for 5 years under Pochettino. And pretty much every year we have counted on someone making a leap, guys making, like, minor progressions. You know, Harry Kane kept getting better and better. Dele Alli was all-conquering a couple seasons ago. Son had a big breakout year. And right now, we're not only not seeing someone step up the way that one of those guys has done in recent seasons, but all of those gains that they had realized, you know, don't seem to be there at all. Like, Eriksen is a shadow of himself. Like, you're right, he has been better lately, but, like, Dele still coming back from injury, nowhere near his best. Kane is good, but not great. Son is probably the only guy who's, like, playing up to his potential. Like, what we were counting on going into the season that Heung-min Son would be. You know, and Ndombele, as good as he's been, he doesn't seem fit enough to last more than 60 minutes. And, you know, for a guy that we spent so much money on, we should be able to count on getting 90-minute performances out of him in midfield. So everybody is just marginally worse than they should be. And it's hard to say whether that's an individual personnel problem for 15 guys, or the easier explanation is something is rotten in the dressing room.
Why not both?
Yeah.
It's probably a mix. Something is clearly wrong. Now, maybe this is the case of things got off on the wrong foot, and, you know, this is a team that has started slow in previous years. We've seen these early season swoons. Or at least failure to ignite, but maybe it's a mix of that, and then just enough things are going wrong with, you know, I don't know, clubhouse culture, injuries, or whatever, tactics that it's all not fucking working, and we've also had enough, you know, we've played, I think, more than I'm used to, at least, you know, anecdotally without really going back and looking. It doesn't feel like we usually have this many intense games early in the season. You know, two Big Six away team, Sky Six away team games, plus Leicester, plus, you know, Bayern Munich in the Champions League. But I don't know. It's not just those games where it's a problem.
Yeah, and like you said, we've had slow starts before. But this is the first time I can remember it really feeling like a five-alarm fire, you know, in the fandom, around the clubhouse. Like,
and again, all like these games.
It's been a little, yeah.
All these games, you can talk, you can sort of explain away on its own. There's perfectly rational explanations. But it's piling up to the point where it's those explanations feel wanting.
They are wanting. So let's do some rampant speculation. What else we got to talk about? What do we think is going on? What's happened here?
I think there's a key party where not everybody understood the rules. I mean, I think the most likely explanation has got to be, like, Poch's message has gotten a little stale, or for one reason or another. Poch wants to be in Madrid. Enough of these guys wanted to get sold and are sticking around that it's a fucking problem. I mean, this team did look gassed at the end of last year. And I think, like, some kind of hangover from that kind of physical exertion and the disappointment of not winning the Champions League, you know, combine that with a couple of these guys not getting their move and some injuries, and, you know, you might have a picture of the Tottenham locker room in 2019. But I don't know if that, like I said, it's hard to know if it's just, oh, shit's not working with Pochettino anymore, or he doesn't want to be here. I don't know what it is, but, you know, the rumors are he's being moodier than usual behind the scenes. I don't know how true those rumors are, but that's the most likely explanation I can think of without, you know, having more information.
You know, I just like, we talk about, like, oh, we were gassed coming off of last season. Like, a year ago, we were coming off of, again, another very tiring season where everybody played in a World Cup. Sun was in, like, 8 mid-season international tournaments. We didn't sign anybody, and somehow, you know, our stadium was delayed for 8 months. Like, somehow all of that adversity combined into, you know, we muddled through into another Champions League qualifying season and a Champions League final. And
I guess my thought would be that that exhaustion didn't come at Spurs, if that makes any sense. Like, your workplace is exhausting as opposed to you are exhausted. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, I guess, you know, going into work every day has become less fun.
I mean, we see this all the time in American sports, or you hear about it, especially in American football, where just, like, coaches' messages get tired after a while. And I think one of the reasons we don't see that in soccer that much is these guys just don't last that long at clubs for one reason or another. And that could be the issue. I mean, Ferguson is a guy who sort of regenerated that team every couple years. And Pochettino's talked a big game about that at Spurs. Like, it's time to regenerate the club. And, you know, I think we just meant that in terms of replacing certain players. But shit, maybe it's more of a culture thing.
I mean, culture, you know, like, Spurs are a team that's always been tagged with having, like, a negative clubhouse culture. And the whole thing about Pochettino's first season was about excising that and putting in a new culture that has seemed to carry us for, like, the past 5 years. So, did that previously bad culture reassert itself? Did we develop it all over again? Like, what happened? I mean,
doesn't this season feel more, you know, for lack of a better word, Spursy than, you know, the last couple seasons?
Absolutely. But I'm just trying to wrap my head around why.
I mean, I think it's like Greg says. I mean, at a certain point, the message begins to lose its effect, especially if, as Danny Rose said in that interview, allegedly, they're just tired of the same message.
Well, we don't know if that was Danny Rose. I mean, honestly, I think if it was Rose, we would have heard
Danny
it.
Rose.
No, I think if it was Danny Rose, he would put his name to it.
Fair, and he would have said it to the Sun. So.
Yeah, exactly.
I just, you know, like, at a certain point, if your boss is coming into you every day and he's telling you the exact same thing for 5 years, and as it stops working, and he continues to tell you the same thing, I think it's just natural for you to be like, fuck this guy. Like, you know, like, I understand that, you know, people are professionals, but, I mean, we've all got jobs. If my boss came in to tell me to do the same thing to, like, you know, lose cases every day for 5 years and I kept getting my ass handed to me, I'd probably be like, nah, I'm over this now.
But, like, that's the thing is, like, we aren't just, like, losing cases every day. Like, we were in a Champions League final at the end of last season.
I think when you have the opportunity to, I mean, the metaphor loses some steam at the end, I guess. But I mean, like, we, you know, losing to Newcastle, losing to Colchester, losing to, you know, the way we capitulated in the Leicester game, this Bayern Munich match. Like, these are all like, you know, these are defeats that are harder to swallow after the success of last year. And if it doesn't look like you have any solutions or your method is to, it's fine, keep going, just do it the way I told you, that's the way that we're going to get through this, I don't know that that's necessarily the most appealing, you know, line for people to hear every day.
I mean, I get saying, like, you know, Pochettino has a very high-intensity kind of coaching regimen that demands a lot of players and a lot of fitness and a lot of working hard off the ball, which is unsexy and not that fun. And I get that that could be exhausting, you know, for 5 years running. But, like, I don't feel like it's a hard sell to say, you know, we came through the hardest year we're ever going to come through last season, and we made it to a Champions League final. And we brought these two world-class talents in Lo Celso and in Dembele. And that's all we need is just a little refresh, and I promise you, it's working. Like, I don't know how you don't see that it's working. Like, again, we got to a fucking Champions League final.
Well, on top of that, Ben,
evidence
the thing
that his methods work. Do you need
the thing that's like a little harder for me to buy is like obviously we know Eriksen wanted out. Now, how acrimonious that was, who knows. There's been some contract issues with Vertonghen, who's where I think might be the most, you know, he was one of Pochettino's stalwarts. But, like, Kane is clearly, like, top dog on this team. And by all accounts, that guy's still at least looks 100% in, even if he's diminished on the pitch. Like, I guess that's my thought is, like, even if there are people getting tired, he's not lost, you know, like, his leaders in the locker room who are still subscribed to his cult, or at least the leader. So it's just, you know, it'd be one thing if Kane was trying to go to United or some shit this summer. But, man, I don't know. It's very, something's going on. If you read between the lines of what Pochettino said this year, it was like, I think what's clear is, at least what he believes, is there are some guys who need to be out of that fucking locker room. And, I mean, I guess from what we can tell, that means Wanyama, that means Eriksen, that means Aurier. Who knows if there are other guys?
He's still starting these guys.
Well, now he is, but, I mean, that's the thing. He, like you said, Ben, he sent these guys to the fucking behind the fucking woodshed. And honestly, he's got enough equity at Spurs, especially before all this shit started, where I think if he went to Daniel Levy after we didn't sell Christian Eriksen, maybe not Eriksen, but certainly Aurier and Wanyama, if Pochettino wanted to send in a train with a fucking youth team until January or next summer, he could have done it. Maybe even done it with Eriksen. I mean, I think it's easy to forget how much juice Pochettino had after taking Spurs to a Champions League.
I don't know, but is it viable to say that he's got three guys, or, you know, even if we say five guys that don't want to be there, that makes all of this that we've seen this season happen? Like, you know, it's not a viable thing for us to turn over, you know, sell five players every summer because Pochettino decides that they're not as committed to the cause as he wants, or because they decide, like, we just spent, you know, a year and a half where we didn't buy anybody, and then now we wanted to not only sign two great players but sell five or six, and it's just like, you know, what if that is your method? Your method is to, you know, say I can't work with these people, we'll get them out of here, send them to the youth team, whatever. That that's not an effective style of management.
No, I mean the argument would be he's
but it is.
He's gutting the team.
He's done it before.
Yeah, he's gutting the team. It's like the idea, you're right, Brian, he can't do that every season. But I guess the idea is like
we're not in a financial position where we can do that every season either.
No, but it might be like it's time for a turnover and these guys are a problem and you know, maybe he knows he can't do this every year, but I can do it this year. And I just it's something very strange is going on and it's hard. It's really hard to figure out what the fuck it is with the information at our disposal.
I mean, like, we've seen him exile players before, right? We've seen him play guys who are less good than their teammates, specifically because they believe in Pochettino's system and, you know, he has faith in them. It wouldn't be that hard to say, all right, you know what? My back line is now Ben Davis, Davinson Sanchez, Juan Foyth, and Kyle Walker-Peters. Because these are the guys who I believe in. These are the guys who are trying in training. And you know what? All these other guys are very talented, but you know, two of them aren't signing deals. Aurier's a moron.
All right, hold on. Before we stretch this hypothetical any further, how are you feeling on the podcast the week after we run out a back line of Davis, Foyth, Sanchez, and Walker-Peters?
I mean, look, I'm not feeling great because I'm feeling like Pochettino needs to, like, bring everybody together and get everybody on board because we have a lot of world-class talent that should be on the pitch and should be performing. But if the reality is there is, like, a revolt in the dressing room and there are certain figures who are a problem in training and disrupting the whole harmony of the squad, then I expect Pochettino to exile them and play guys like Davinson Sanchez and Juan Foyth because he's done it before. And
he did it before when there weren't expectations, though. Like, the expectation wasn't continue to qualify for the Champions League. Like, at the time that he came in, the expectation was, you know, all right, we need to figure out what the hell we're doing because we need to recover from this Tim Sherwood thing and get back into the fifth, fourth conversation. And, you know, he was able to, you know, marginalize guys like Kapu and Kabul and Adebayor. And, you know, because he had players like Mason and Kane and, you know, I can't think of who we played. Right.
In defense. My hypothetical involves these are.
But I mean, like, if you're exiling Christian Eriksen, what are you doing instead?
I mean, you're playing Eric Lamela, which we've done a lot of this season, and he's been pretty good.
I feel like the pressure is on him to win games, and so he has to win games and to finish in the Champions League and to, you know, generate the revenue that this team needs to continue being.
I guess here's what I mean, is if the pressure is to win games, and Pochettino's explanation for why we're not winning games is nothing to do with his tactics or individual player quality, but some weird unrest in the dressing room, like, that's within his purview to fix. If like Eriksen is become a cancer at training, as good as he is, and Pochettino feels like that cancer is disrupting the whole harmony of the team, then you've got to think, well, a team without Christian Eriksen will be better, because it no longer has this cancerous element that's unsettling everybody around him. So pull it up by the root and get rid of these guys, if that's the problem. And if the problem is just Pochettino's not a good manager and our players aren't very good, then, you know, well, that's different. I mean, but if the problem is like players are in open revolt in training or some shit, then those guys shouldn't see the pitch anymore.
What if Pochettino is actually a fraud?
Ben, this. But it's not like I've seen some Spurs fans talking about, like, oh, all Pochettino did over the years was be a motivator, which I think is absolutely true, and that he has been, like, his ability to motivate players is a big part of his success. But this idea that he hasn't been tactically astute, while there are times he does things that make you scratch your head, I think it's looking at the various combinations and problems he solved on the pitch, I think it's hard to not be impressed by Pochettino as a bit of a tactical
manager. Like, you know, he doesn't always get it right, but he's pretty astute. He's reinvented
new systems constantly throughout the last 5 years. Whether that's a back three or the air raid or what have you, you know, he has come up with different tactical setups. Like, that's not beyond him. And he's done it to accommodate injured and absent players. So, absent some players, and come up with something new.
It's... God. I clearly what we need to do is, like, just clone Dembele and give him to Pochettino, you know, every few years, give him a new clone that he can use, but...
I mean, honestly, just bring back the old one. Fuck it.
Might as well. Shit, nothing else seems to be working.
It'll all probably be fine, and we'll probably look back on this in 3 months and be like, what were we talking about?
I mean, it's worth pointing out that there is a scenario in which Spurs have been a little bit unlucky. We have a stretch of games coming up where Liverpool, who are going to absolutely fucking demolish us, are the only really tough game in that set of fixtures. Obviously, the Champions League games are important, but we get some of the lesser teams in our group.
I mean,
we have an opportunity to go on a little. We have a little bit of an opportunity to go on a run, or at least like get our sea legs under us, and then like, okay, Kyle Walker-Peters is back, so we can stop playing games at right back. You know, we can get Ndombele more acclimated in the midfield. We can figure out whatever the fuck we're doing with Harry Winks. Lo Celso comes back. Sessegnon's healthy. There's a world in which this does get fixed, and right now is just like Spurs are striking out every time they come to the plate. But, and while I don't think it's as bad as it feels today, fuck, it feels like, I don't know, I don't feel like it's just going to work itself out. I feel like it's not going to work itself out till either the winter transfer window or more likely next summer's transfer window, because I think this is going to be about squad construction.
Yeah, I mean, I think he hit the nail on the head. Is like, we run off a few wins, and suddenly all of the reasons everybody is upset that it's not working, and it's, you know, the same shit with no forward progress. If we do see progress and we do see results, then I think, you know, the players are having a lot more fun out there, and they're a lot more willing to buy into what Pochettino is selling because it is working. And... you know, this is so frustrating. It's like a couple bounces go a different way. You know, if we beat Newcastle and Leicester, neither of those games, which were beyond us, even in the circumstances of the match itself, you know, we're sitting on 17 points in second place behind Liverpool. And, you know, it's a lot harder to be in open revolt against your manager in that scenario. And so, you know, a couple good bounces go our way, and, you know, we do rattle off a few wins in this next stretch. It could put to rest whatever dressing room problems may exist if the players are happily out there, you know, rolling up points every week.
It could. It just, I don't know. What's going on at Spurs, it feels like there's something deeply wrong, and it's going to take, like, a summer to fix. And I don't know what it is, but I just don't feel like, maybe it gets better in season. I just don't feel like it's going to get fixed in season. And maybe I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong about that. I really do. Because we've seen him make tactical shifts in season before. A lot of times he doesn't really figure out how to get the best out of his team till November.
Yeah, and, you know, in terms of getting it sorted out in summer, if the culprits are, you know, the contract rebels of Toby, Jan, and Eriksen, you know, that might just be a problem we can't fix. As good as even if we become, like, fantastic on the pitch. Those are problems that just might not go away, or problems we have to make peace with and say, okay, well, this is your last year. Let's make the most of it. But, yeah, I mean, that might just be unfixable.
I mean, and that's not to say we won't find a way to qualify for the Champions League or accidentally win a I think Vince actually made a pretty good joke today that if you watch Spurs today, if that tells you anything, it's Spurs are going to win the FA Cup. But I don't know. This isn't fun to watch right now, even though we got probably the best 30 minutes of Spurs all season today. And hopefully that translates. Hopefully we go up against the Brighton team this weekend that's had a pretty decent season so far, and we really take it to them. I just don't know. I am I'm tired of looking for reasons to be optimistic. I would like some unqualified reasons to be optimistic, as opposed to tilting my head and looking at it in a certain light.
Well, so far this season, Brighton have lost to good teams like Chelsea and Man City and had hard-fought draws and wins against bad teams. So if we draw Brighton or lose to Brighton, then obviously we're a bad team and nothing good is going to happen. But if we beat Brighton, then therefore we must be a good team like Chelsea and Man City, and everything will be fine.
I wouldn't so pin all your hopes on that.
Everything hinges on this result.
Jesus.
What could possibly go wrong, right?
Except everything.
Yeah, well, whatever. We probably won't lose 7-2 again.
Don't put that out there.
Yeah, don't put that voodoo on me, Brian.
Just saying, it seems statistically unlikely to me.
I mean, how bad does this feel to you, Brian?
What, all of it? Or just
yeah, like after today. Today specifically. After, not today specifically, but just like where we are after today. Like, is this, does it feel worse than it is to you? Or is it like, are we at DEFCON, like, just fuck right now?
No, I don't know, man. I think this doesn't feel as bad as some of the poor runs under prior managers. Like, this doesn't feel as bad as the team quitting on AVB. This doesn't feel as bad as 2 points from 8 games under Ramos. You know, I don't know. This doesn't feel... Yeah, I think this... It's just weird because you kind of had a run of 4 or 5 years with, you know, relative stability from this team in terms of performances and consistency and, like Ben said earlier, kind of changing the mentality that had been associated with this club for so long. And now you see it kind of reverting back to type. And so it's just different in that in what we've come to expect. I don't think this is worse than where we've been in the past. So I think this is, like I said, we may get to the point where in 3 months we're all just like, ah, remember when we were worried about whether Pochettino was a fraud or not and we couldn't figure out our tactics and everybody was hurt, and then remember how everybody came back and we were awesome? Like, you know, that could be exactly what happens here.
I hope so.
Yeah. I mean, again, I do stand by the fact that, like, that was a good 30 minutes. And if Pochettino can convince the players that that 30 minutes is our true selves, that that is who Tottenham Hotspur can be when we rattle off a few wins, I can totally see this all turning around. And like Brian said, we all feel very silly in a few months. But it's just demoralizing. Like, it's been a very demoralizing few weeks. Oh. With the, from, like, the Leicester VAR turnaround to up 2-0 to down 2-1 to going out on penalties to Colchester to this fucking game. Like,
yeah, it does. It feels like a very demoralizing. Can't be good. And I mean, you know, there's an element of like Spurs have gotten football more than a couple times in the last few weeks. You know, like Leicester scored a really dumb goal against us that, you know, Bayern scored 7 really dumb goals against us that, like, you know, there's only a certain amount we could do against some of those things. The VAR decision went against us. I don't know. You just hope that we are having an epically bad run of luck and we get our shit together. I just would really like Spurs to... I really underestimated how easy to watch Spurs have been for, like, the last 4 years. I mean, obviously there's been a lot of, like, heartbreak and, you know, unrest, but, like, fuck. Like, they've been relatively a pleasant diversion under Pochettino, and now it's just, like, fucking crazy. Like, I was just, like, coming home from work today, and I was just mad about having to record this podcast because they were just so fucking dismal today.
And, I mean, I guess if you want to trace it back to, you know, kind of, like, last spring, this was just kind of a continuation of that. This is basically what last spring felt like, where you just kind of, there were games, and you're just like, why do we have to talk about that? But then the Champions League would happen, and it'd be great again.
Yeah, at least then.
That's the difference
and
right now.
In retrospect, it wasn't as much of an explanation, I think, as maybe we thought at the time. But, you know, you could sort of tell yourself, like, okay, we're selling out for the Champions League. And I think that was true. I think that had a lot to do with our form late last season. That and the injury crisis. But now it's just getting to the point where it's like, that's not all of it, or at least not anymore. And
sports are dumb.
Sports are real dumb, and I just hope it's better. I miss Spurs being super fun.
Yeah, I mean, and again, we were fun today for a little bit.
Yeah,
that's encouraging, because, like, even our wins, we haven't been fun. You know, I mean, Palace was fun, but, like, beating Aston Villa was not a fun performance.
Well, it was for 20 minutes at the end there.
Definitely not fun.
It was for 20 minutes at the end there, but...
But, you know, again, like, the beginning of this game was watching Tottenham be effective and fun.
Well, and it's worth remembering, and we should all remember this, which is we are not going to play many teams as good as Bayern Munich for the rest of this year. And I think it's easy to forget how good Bayern are because they've underperformed a little bit in recent years. And I think just generally Bayern are kind of like, oh, yeah, they're over there in Germany. They don't win the Champions League that much. Like, whatever. They are what they are. But, you know, Bayern's a really fucking good team, and they're a little bit resurgent this year. And those are some really good players that beat us today. Now, that's no excuse. I want to be very clear. That's no excuse for what happened. But if we're going to try and get our shit together, at least we'll be doing it against teams for at least a little while who aren't as good as Bayern Munich. But we better get our fucking act together by the time we play. I think it's Red Star next. Because we need to start winning some fucking Champions League matches.
We didn't start winning them until after the third match last year. So
yeah, and, you know, we're still... There's still... It's not super difficult for Spurs to advance out of their Champions League group the way things stand right now. But we do need to start getting our act together sooner rather than later. It's just like the league. It's not a disaster yet, but we probably ought to pull out of this tailspin before we need to pop our chute. It's just...
Right. It's very easy to say, okay, well, you know what? We just beat Red Star twice in Olympiacos at home, and now suddenly we're in pole position to qualify. And, you know, the margins of a successful campaign and an utterly dismal one are very fine. And just like in the league, you know, we can still turn things around. We're still in a good position. We are not, you know, we're not anchored to the foot of the table. You know, we're still in it. We just need to start being as good as we've seen us be at our best this season.
Well, I hope, like I said, I am actually very glad that Spurs apparently had a little camp out after the game in the locker room, because I would hope that they're taking this fucking seriously, because they better. I mean, this isn't just a bump in the road. This isn't just a couple bad games anymore. This is a fucking problem, and I'm glad that that would indicate at least that we are taking this seriously. I do want to thank Tottenham for ensuring that I haven't listened to a soccer podcast other than, like, some Spurs ones in, like, fucking weeks at this point. So, at least they're helping clear up space on my iPod. So, or my iPhone. So, that's something at least. But, Brian, do you have any final thoughts? Man, Brian has no final thoughts.
Oh, sorry.
Just staring into the void.
Yeah, I was trying to gather all of the complex things that are happening in my head, and distill them down into, like, something very succinct and meaningful. But I just think we should beat Brighton. I think that would be probably what's best for both this podcast and the club in general.
Well, that's... Jesus. Where can people find you on the internet? I don't even have a follow-up.
That's fine. You can find me on Twitter at Brian_Ashlock.
Ben, do you have any final thoughts?
Yeah, my final thought is if we want to turn this season around, we should simply drop Harry Winks because he is fucking terrible.
Agree. Just put Lo Celso out there on a wheelchair. How much worse can it be?
None worse.
Where can people find you on the internet?
You can find me on Twitter at Harry Stinks.
Oh, now that's a good Twitter handle.
And you can find me on Tumblr at Brett Rainbow.
Okay.
Who Brett Rainbow went to the new White Hart Lane this weekend and was responsible for our victory. So thank you, Brett Rainbow.
Brett Rainbow needs to move to England is basically what you're saying, correct?
Correct.
Okay. In that case, so I'm your host, Greg. You can find me on Twitter at skipjack0079. This match sucked, but maybe brighten your life by leaving us a positive review on iTunes. 5 stars, please. We would really appreciate it as we talk about the misery that is our lives watching Tottenham. So hopefully that will change in the near future. Watching Tottenham be miserable, that is, not you leaving us positive reviews on iTunes. So for Ben, for Brian, and of course for Brett Rainbow, I'm your host, Greg. Come on, you Spurs. Please come on, you Spurs.